How you doing? And I expect a story from each one of you. Yeah, we're talking about foolishness today, or faithfulness today. And how many know what faithfulness is? Or if you are faithful, or maybe unfaithful. It's a word that can really define our character and really define what type of person we are. And there's degrees of faithfulness and unfaithfulness, and God loves us regardless. If he sees we're faithless, he is still faithful, it says. So let's talk about this. Let's read the text, Galatians 5, 16 through 24. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, division. All right, Paul, enough's enough. Oh. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warned you, as I warned you before, that those things, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In us. So we already have, by the Spirit of God, faithfulness. We already have that capability, because we walk by the Spirit and not the flesh. When we make decisions for walking in line with the Spirit, we're walking in line with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is having us walk in line with him, doing righteous deeds and dwelling in us and allowing us to be faithful and so forth and so on. The battle, and I think Craig marked that out for us, is the Spirit against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, and the flesh not being the skin on our bodies, but just the world and what's run by the world, the evil of the world, and all those things that look good in the world but aren't of God. Those are the things of the flesh. Flesh speaks of those who have not received Christ and have not been born again by the Spirit of the Lord. But we have received Jesus. Therefore, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we are capable of bearing this fruit, bearing any one of the fruit, because we, the Spirit of God, dwells in us already. Make sense? Galatians 5:16, Paul says, but I say, walk or live your life by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How many walk like that every day? Tongue in cheek on a lot. No. Galatians 5, 25, if, and it really should be since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, it's saying, since we have our life of God, the life of God Almighty living within us, that which has given us spiritual life, let us keep in step with that Spirit. Amen. Since we have our life by the Spirit, being born again, each of us who is a follower of Christ has the Holy Spirit dwelling within. I'm just catching up on my notes. Therefore, the fruit of the Holy Spirit already dwells in you. It's not necessary to ask God for any of the fruit listed. Now, that may rattle some people and they may disagree, but we already have the Spirit of God living in us. And the fruit of that Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, so forth. So the Spirit of God dwells within us. Our choice is to choose to walk according to that Spirit, which will lead us in the place of goodness and fruitfulness and all the other fruit listed. If we listen to the flesh, we will, by the flesh, reap and be out of the will of God. We can draw from the Holy Spirit without having to pray. Now, it doesn't hurt to pray, God, help me. Help me walk in this thing. That doesn't hurt to pray that. But we do need to know, I think we need to sharpen our minds and our hearts and line them up with the Word of God and realize that we already have that Spirit within us. If I'm impatient with somebody, I need patience. And I believe Greg spoke on that. But that patience is in the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So if we're being impatient, we're in the flesh. If we are patient, we are drawing from the life of God, that well of water, or that spring of water, you know, wanting to spring out and flow in the situation. So our task is to yield to the Holy Spirit and not to the flesh. And that's basically what that verse is saying. But I say, live, yield, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the things of the flesh. Don't shout me down now because I'm preaching good. Faithfulness defined. And I remember when Isaac was preaching, he looked up. What was his word? Trust? What was it? Kindness. And he'd look up in a dictionary, and the dictionary would define kindness, and it would say kindness. That was their definition. And it's kind of like this with faithfulness, not quite as much, but I use a lot of the same terms, but what I found in just the English dictionary is faithfulness is defined good faith, honesty, and integrity. That's the definition of faithfulness. It's remaining loyal and steadfast. It's to be faithful means to be reliable, steadfast, and unwavering. There's a lot to that word, a lot of depth to that word. And examples of faithfulness is integrity. It includes being honest in your dealings, taking responsibility for your actions, treating others with respect. It also involves keeping promises, being trustworthy, and demonstrating ethical behavior even when no one is watching. Faithfulness, when no one's watching. The Lord is there with us. Now, if you're sitting out there and you're going, boy, I have really blown it in this area, or have been blowing it in this area, God is gracious. And he forgives our sins. And again, the Spirit doesn't leave us. He's there to help us become and do what Jesus would like us to do in a situation. So God is working for us all the time. He never leaves us. He's working for us in our spirit. Integrity is a trait of sticking to your ethics and moral principles at all times. Examples of a person with integrity include someone who keeps their promises, takes personal responsibility for their actions, treat others with respect at all times, and follow the rules. That's pretty strong. You know, having integrity with someone else, including your friends, your neighbors, your boss, your wife, whatever. You keep promises. You take personal responsibility for your actions. You treat others with respect at all times. Now, some of you have this down. You got it down pat, so. Just kidding. Tim Keller writes, faithfulness is being utterly reliable and true to our word because we are driven by principle. And he's talking there, we're driven by our knowledge of right and wrong, which we get from the Lord, we get from the Spirit, we get from the Scriptures. We get a right and wrong sense. And to be faithful means that we are driven by these principles that we have in the Scripture. And it produces loyal commitments. The opposite of a royal commitment would be commitments based only on immediate self-interest, which ends up being a fair-weather friend. We ever had somebody who was in your life and enjoyed some of the same things you enjoyed and but didn't connect with the same football team you connect with? And, you were together watching the game and both teams were playing and you were cheering for your team and he wasn't. He was cheering for his team. And when the game was all over, your team won. And he was like, I'm out of here. You know, and you try to call him and you try to text him over the next few days. And he's like, nah, I can't do that. I can't be a Bears fan or Packer fan or whatever. The opposite or the counterfeit of integrity is being loved but not truthful because of an unwillingness to confront and challenge others. It's being loving but not truthful in that relationship. Because of an unwillingness to confront and challenge the other. We like our friendship sometimes with certain people. We like it to be at a comfortable level. And when we hear this guy's not quite as comfortable as he says he is, you know, we're gone gradually or swiftly. But being loving but not truthful because of an unwillingness to confront or challenge others. That would be counterfeit of faithfulness. Christian faithfulness is a virtue one is to display. Faithfulness is a work of the Spirit in our lives, especially when we are tempted to be unfaithful in a given situation. Next page, please. Faithful in relationship with others. This again is like faithfulness with your spouse, faithfulness with your boss, faithfulness to your church, and then just general friends. How faithful are we in our relationships with that? And again, not going over the characteristics of what faithfulness is, this list here I have, it means loyalty. That friend is loyal. It means trustworthiness, steadfast love, patience, commitment. These are all characteristics of being faithful to a friend or others. Again, faithfulness to your spouse, your boss, your church, and your friends. Loyalty, trustworthiness, steadfast, patience, and commitment. I was talking to somebody this morning, and they commented about this church, and this person indicated this is the most faithful church he's seen in a long time. And he had the outline with him. That's what brought that up. And I had to agree with him. You know, it seems like when you say you're going to dig into something, you dig into something. If you volunteer for something, you go for it. Faithfulness to the church. When the church is in a funky way, which I have never really seen it that way, you stay faithful. Amen. And then we go to faithfulness in our relationship with God. Faithfulness to God means being loyal and devoted to Him. Trusting in His care, following His commandments even during difficult times. It involves consistently practicing your faith, demonstrating it through your actions and relationships with others. Now, this is where I fall down sometimes. You know, in my prayer life or other aspects of my Christianity. Just kind of get indifferent over certain issues in my life, and you know, I don't look to Him as I should. But then, you know, I get back into the Word, and always the Word pops up and ministers to me. I've been in Colossians lately. I like to take a book of the Bible and study the book of the Bible, and it's hard for me because I'm the kind of guy that when I get a book, I need to read it from front to back. I just got to do that. I can't go out of order. I can't read that chapter that's three ahead, you know, and not know what happened to the three chapters I skipped over. So that's difficult for me. But I have to do it, and that's good to do it with the Scriptures, because each one of those letters, you get to know the background of it and stuff. You get, I think, a much deeper understanding and revelation. But faithfulness to God means being loyal and devoted to him and trusting him in his care, following his commandments, even during difficult times. It involves consistently practicing your prayer, your faith, and demonstrating it through your actions and relationships. In 1 Corinthians 4, it says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be faithful. They be found faithful. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown. And then Matthew says, this is in the midst of a parable, but Matthew says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over little, I will set you faithful over much. That is really a key thing in our lives. It's not like we have to do these monstrous tasks and prove that we need to be big, faithful. Man, I'm faithful. I can't carry all this cash into a church. What he cares about is the little things, too. The seeds and harvest and the things that he has put in front of us to manage and to take care of. We are to be faithful in those type of things and be as joyful in those things as you would if you were, you know, picked to be raptured first. I don't believe in the rapture, but it's just faithful things. It's little things that you do, and big things can come of it. And now we have to talk about faithful in our relationship with God. Faithfulness to God means being loyal and devoted to him, trusting in his care, following his commandments even during difficult times. It involves consistently practicing your faith and demonstrating it through your actions and relationships with others. So faithfulness doesn't cease when things go bad in a situation or a circumstance. He says to what's required of stewards is that they are found faithful. And so he says then in Revelation, I will give you a crown of life. Matthew 25, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful steward, servant, you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. You've been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. God's faithfulness towards us. God's faithfulness means he is always reliable and trustworthy, keeping his promises, remaining loyal to his people regardless of circumstances. This attribute assures believers that they can depend on him for support and guidance throughout their lives. How many have ever had just an easy life and nothing ever happens? It's just all positive. It's just good things going all the time. Nothing ever happens. You know, no emergencies or anything. You can leave if you... No, I'm just kidding. We all need God. We all need him for various reasons, for spiritual support, for emotional support, for physical support, economic support, whatever it might be. We can look to God, who is faithful in all that he does. There's a couple of psalms here. Exodus 34, the Lord passed before him, as referring to Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So you can never wear God out coming to him, because he's always there, and he will abound, you will abound in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 25, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Psalm 34, for the word of the Lord is upright and all his work is done in faithfulness. Psalm 85, steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithful springs up from the ground and the righteousness looks down from the sky. 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. So know this today, that the Lord is faithful and he will establish you and guard you against the evil one. What are you facing today that could be getting in the way of understanding the Lord's faithfulness towards you? He will provide and establish you and guard you against the evil one. We can push back the enemy through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can establish through our prayers and our crying out the Lord who is faithful. In 2 Timothy 2, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In other words, God can't be other than what he is. He can't be unfaithful because God is faithful. God is faithfulness. He can't be anything else but faithful. I thought that was interesting, especially if they're in a time of trial, persecution. It says, even though we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I think that's a pretty good deal. Amen. I got a few scriptures here that I just want to read out and see how people were faithful. In Colossians 1:1-2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. These people were following, they were faithful to the gospel, and they were following in the way that they should follow. Colossians 1:7. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Ephesians 6. So that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. See, these guys, the first one I read in Colossians, he's faithful in following the gospel. The second one I read to you, the second couple I read to you, they were faithful in ministry. We have to be faithful in our ministry, honest and true and integrity. And that's, again, just when I first was coming here, that's what I sensed and felt in the leadership here, was integrity. And I don't know how I felt that, but I didn't get to know many people right away, but I could tell that it was just a church that dealt and walked in integrity. I got a couple questions. Think of some things in your life that you are faithful to. What are some things you are faithful to? Would you consider yourself one who lives a life of faithfulness in all your relationships? Have you ever been the victim of someone being unfaithful? And can you think of a time when you've experienced God's faithfulness towards you? I would say that time is today. Amen. If you're dealing with something and there's someone who you thought you could trust, you thought was loyal, you thought that he was faithful in your relationship, and you're having a hard time with that, just know that God is faithful. He's full of grace, and he's full of power, and he'll be in that situation to help find resolution and to help you walk in love and faithfulness towards your enemy at this point. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. And I know that it was overused today, but it seems to me like a basic word that needs to be a part of our lives. It's an important word that needs to be a part of our lives. And grant us the grace to know that the Spirit of God living within us has that grace, has that peace, has that love, has that faithfulness. And we need to do is walk according to that Spirit. And to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.